favorite topics, and that is evangelism. Amen. So let's pray and we're going to get into it. Father God, I just thank you for today. Lord, we say we welcome you in this place. God, I just pray right now that you open up every mind, every heart, and every eye, Father, to be able to receive from you, to be able to hear from you, and to be able to see from you, God. Lord, right now, I just step aside and I say, use me as an open vessel to communicate your gospel, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Move like never before. So, Father, I just thank you for the assignment today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So as I was getting prepared, I was looking up what the word evangelism means. And most of us know what it means, but I had to look up in the Webster Dictionary and see what it means. And the definition means the spreading of Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. By public preaching or personal witness. When I read that, a lot of times what I've seen throughout my years is that people look at evangelism as the first part of that definition. We see it as public preaching. We see it that we have to do this big thing, go on the street corner and go, you need Jesus now. Or we see it as, hey, it's Pastor Eben's job or Pastor Jonathan's job or Pastor Paul's job. Or I'll evangelize when I'm able to get on the platform. And we only see it as this public preaching, like Jesus only spoke at the mountain. And that we only see it as this thing that we do. That we're only going to do it when the church organizes an evangelism day. When we have Win Tarrant, I'll take a card and we'll go out. Now that is the part of the first definition, and I don't want to knock that or tear that down. But the second part is what I want to talk about this morning, and is that personal witness. Because I believe evangelism is a lifestyle. And that if you're a born again Christian, it is inside of you and a lifestyle that you must live. And that you have, every person has a personal witness. And I believe Jesus gives us a phenomenal example of this. And so today we're going to look in Matthew 5. Most of us know this scripture, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. Jesus gives us a perfect outline. The first thing he does there is he gives us an identity. He says, you are the light. He gives us a responsibility and an opportunity. He says, this is us. Oh, it works. Praise the Lord. Thank you, PJ. He says, you're the light. He says, don't let it dim. He says, you're the light of the world. You know, Don and I, we got married. And we got married, you know, you have to do this whole proposal thing, you know. And it can kind of be nerve-wracking for the guy a little bit, right? And so I'm getting everything ready, but your boy's good. Like, I've learned from Pastor, your boy's good. So I flew up to Oregon, because that's where she's from. I tried to time it on her birthday, but she had to work on her birthday. So the day before, I planned it out with her siblings. I flew to Oregon. We had this specific spot that we would go to that was over this river, and it was a dock. And I brought all these lanterns and did all the lights and did these flowers. And I set them up, and it was, God was in it because it started snowing right then. And so, I mean, you talk about a Hallmark movie. We had the river flowing. I mean, you're like, yeah. I knew it was from God, right? Like, it just made me look so, I almost wanted to start a business. I was like, man, I can do you know, but I had to prepare myself and get up there and get on one knee. And, you know, I already knew what I wanted, right? Like, the man already knew what I knew what I wanted. I knew what I was going to do. I already knew the commitment I was going to make. That's the thing about Donna. She had to say yes. But she had to say yes for me the rest of her life. She had to say yes to moving to Texas. She had to say yes to making new friends. She had to say yes to leaving her family. She had to say yes to a new job. She had to say yes to a new church. Because I wasn't leaving. When you find the best, you got the best. I mean, she had to say yes to a new name. Because your boy doesn't believe in hyphens. You know, her last name was Samolidge. And I was like, well, I got to give her a new name that I know how to pronounce. Her brothers are like, well, you have to hyphen. I said, well, I don't do hyphens. John Calhoun don't do hyphens. She's either going to be Donna Calhoun or Donna Samolidge, but there's no mixing. We don't do. So she had to change her full identity. See, when she entered into this new relationship, it changed her identity. See, I'm not the only person that doesn't like hyphens. Jesus doesn't either. See, I believe the reason we struggle sometimes as believers is making evangelism our lifestyles because we don't truly know who we are in Christ. We want to take on part of His name. But we live a hyphened lifestyle. We still think in our old ways. We still believe the things that happened to us as a kid rule us. That's not our God. Jesus didn't say, I'm only going to die for part of your life. That I still want you to be miserable. That I still want you to live in misery. I still not want you to have hope. He didn't say that. So this morning, I want to read through some scriptures of who Jesus says we are. Because I truly believe that we got to know our identity in Christ. And before we can evangelize, before we have this lifestyle evangelism, it all starts with our identity. I feel like it's the first stumbling block of what it is. So I love in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things have passed away before all things are created new. All things are passed away. They are dead and gone. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, but you keep going back to what happened to you as a kid. And Jesus is saying, all things are gone. That when I died for you and you said yes to me, I gave you a new life. He didn't say I spit shined you. He said you are a new creature. That I have made you new. In Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer who I live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Him to me. He loved you. He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. Your flesh is no longer yours. You live by faith, not by sight anymore. We walk by faith. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for our own possession. That you might proclaim the excellence of Him who called out of darkness into marvelous light. One thing that I love in Matthew, he says that in Matthew 5, that your light will dim. He never said your light will go back out. So what we end up doing is we keep trying to live back in the darkness, but you can't. So you will always, even if you dim it, there's still light. And wherever there's light, you don't fit in the darkness. You can't fit in anymore. So even when you try to think your old ways, you can't go back to those old ways. That's why it's uncomfortable when you go back to old habits. Because the scripture doesn't say, hey, guess what? Your light's going to go out. Jesus doesn't say that. He says that even though the light's dim, you've changed. You're new. The old ways are dead and gone. That's the way He sees you. See, taking on identity is not just taking on a name, but it's seeing you the way that the identity you're taking on sees you. Donna was okay taking on my last name because she saw the kind of man that I am and said, oh, I can represent that. Oh, I can get with him. Oh, I can submit to him. Oh, I can lead with him. See, when you know the way Jesus sees you, the things of the past are gone. When you know the way Jesus sees you, it doesn't matter what the world says. But the first part of a lifestyle evangelism is not buying into the lies of society or the enemy anymore. Guys, I didn't speak until I was 6 years old. I was told by several doctors that I wouldn't ever speak. Literally, they told me, I have written documents that told my parents that I should be a laborer, and that's it. If I bought into what society said, I would not be on here today. God would not be using me in the way that He wants to use me. And I see this all of the time. Well, we don't change the way that we think. I love it. Paul says that I'm not ashamed for the gospel. In Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. For it is the Jew, then the Gentile, for the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Righteousness is by faith from the first to the last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul could say he's not ashamed because he knew who he was in Christ. Because Paul's name, y'all know, was Saul. So he didn't just have a conversion. He actually changed his full name. He went to Social Security office, DMV. I understand that process. We just did that. And I said, I'll never get married again. The Social Security office don't play. DMV was booked up 6 months. Man, she had to drive an hour away. He changed it all. He said, I'll no longer be known as Paul. I mean, as Saul. But I'll be known as Paul. This book that we read is not just a book just for us to go, hey. But God wrote it. It's an inspired word of God. Amen. For you to be understand the way that He sees you. And if we don't truly get this, then we won't go through and really process and go, man, I'm no longer these things anymore. I don't care how many times society says that I'm this. I don't care how many times my parents said this. I don't care what happened to me. I don't care what my health looks like. But I am the righteousness of God. I am a royal priesthood. This is our first step of really knowing who we are. We have to know, we have to think, we have to believe, we have to walk with Christ. And this lifestyle of evangelism, the first step is really knowing your identity, but it goes more than that. When you have a new identity, it equals new responsibility. There in Matthew 5:15 says, neither do people light up a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a light stand and give it light to everyone. In the same way, let your light shine before others. He says, let it shine before others. He gives us a responsibility to keep our light shining. Every new relationship has a new responsibility. Yeah. I'll see this thing. My wedding ring. Just so y'all know. What does this represent? My relationship status, right? Before Facebook and all that, you know, relationship status, married, relationship. Complicated. There's no complicated that we put on. It's a ring. How many married people do I have in the room? Come on now. Yeah. How many want to be married? Raise your hand. Fantastic. Man, it's awesome. So I have a question for you though. I have a question for you. What if every time your spouse went to the grocery store, they were like, but they came back home. And then they went to the gym. And then they came back home. Or they went to the bank or that certain group of friends. And every time they go out to try to hide their relationship status. How often do we do this to Christ? We come to the church house. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's for you, Pastor Keith. And we praise him in the house, but Saturday night. We praise him in the house, but that one person, I know you Dallas drivers, that one person cuts you off. We praise him in the house, but it's just a computer screen. He says, don't let your light shine. Every new relationship has a new identity, has a new responsibility. Even though I take this off, it doesn't change that I'm married. I'm married with it on or with it off. I am married. What this does is it shows people. It shows people. And I feel like this is what we do. Is that we get around groups of people. Jesus said it this way. Then we dim our lights. And we go down and we come up. We go down and we come up. See, I feel like sometimes we can look at Christianity not as a relationship. And as an obligation. And that it's this powerful thing that we do because we either said that we have to do. Or I was raised this way. And that's not what Jesus has for you. That he has a living, walking relationship with you. And he doesn't just want you to find your identity, but yet we have responsibility with it too. And no matter what obstacles come after us. So how do we live out this responsibility? The first one is through our faith. You know, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all things to be added onto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. If we were transparent, do we do that in our daily lives? So this is lifestyle evangelism. This isn't just a one-time thing on Sunday mornings. I'm saying, do we put God first? Do we seek first his kingdom? If you truly looked into yourself, do we put him first? Do we put our desires? Every time we pray, do we pray our desires or do we pray his will? Do we seek him first? And then 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. We study this. We study this. We study this. This was not just written for pastors. It says, study to show themselves approved unto God. That not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. We have to study this. We have to study this. I want to switch our mentality when we read the word. Because being raised in a Christian home, my parents did an amazing job. And one thing that they taught us was that this was not done because we have to. It's done because we get to. It is different. I can actually say this now because I'm married. It is different when my wife writes me a letter than when Daryl writes me a letter. Amen. Amen. It's different when the one that loves you writes you a letter. Don and I did long distance. And man, we wrote letters back and forth. And man, when I got that letter in the mail, I got mail. Do we pursue God's word like that? Where we get to say, man, I got mail. I got mail from the one who loves me. I got mail from the one who needs me. Man, I want to know to show you, God, that I'm responsible. Do we read it like a love letter? That the one who created the heavens and the earth loves you. That has a purpose for you, has a plan for you. Romans 12, 2 says, not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do we transform our mind daily? I'm telling you, it's different when you start reading this differently. Amen. When you really look at this as a letter to you from God. Uh-huh. Instead of just doing a checklist. I read my chapter today. I got 4 stars in the Bible app. Sorry, that was kind of shady. I'm sorry. Keep reading your Bible app. It's awesome. That was a little mean. The second is through prayer. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Understanding He will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Through prayer. Pray. 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 You can't have a relationship without communication. The gospel's not complicated. Evangelism comes hard when you don't know who you're talking about. That's when it becomes difficult. Relationships require communication. I've heard that more than anything else. When you go through counseling, premarital counseling, communication, communication, communication. Do we commune with God? Do we take the time to pray? Do we take the time for Him to be able to pour into us? Or is it every time that we go, we just have a list, a laundry list? If every time my wife came to me and it was with a honey-do list, and that's the only thing she gave me, I would not be a happy camper. Thank the Lord I'm not God. And His grace covers it. We have to have communication with Him. More than just a Sunday morning. I love that it says it will guard your heart and mind. When we do these things, well, the last one is our responsibility comes through the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, it says, but the Holy Spirit will come and help you because the Father will send the Spirit to take my place. The Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of what I said while I was with you. John 14, 26, I'm going to read the Amplified version. But the Helper, Comforter, Advocator, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standbyer, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, will represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and He will help you remember everything that I've told you. The greatest thing about our God and this relationship is that the responsibility really isn't all on us. It's being open. He says, I will send my helper. And I love the Amplified version there because it says He's the Comforter, the Advocate, the Advocator, the Counselor, the Strengthener. You don't do this on your own. You're not on your own. When you took on this new identity, He gave you the Holy Spirit to be with you. When you change this, your life, when you have this new responsibility, He does not leave you alone in your responsibility, but yet He fulfills the responsibilities. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Guys, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He changed you. He said, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. You know, I've seen in over time that the older believers that we get, we go from this and then life hits and we kind of go to here. And then we forget what it was like to really shine. And the Lord put it on my heart this morning to encourage the older believer that he's not done with you yet. And that he wants to see inside of you that ignite and that passion once more when he first met you. We've got to maintain this relationship. If you feel like your light has dimmed in one of these areas, that tells me that in one of these areas we're struggling. Either we're not in our word, or we've made it into a habit, or we're not really praying, or we've made it into an asking list, or we don't really haven't invited the Holy Spirit in to commune with us on the daily. And when one of those things come down and they start just pulling down our light, and then what happens is life just hits. And you have kids, and then you have responsibilities, and then you have bills, and then you have health, and you have all these things that keep piling up, and we think this is what it is. And the Lord is saying that, man, you're meant to shine for so much more. And the greatest thing is that His Holy Spirit will help us. But when we shine, things do get so much better. Yeah. Things get better. Blessings come. This gospel is called the good news. Sometimes we treat it like bad news. Well, I don't really want to do that. You don't understand, PJ. I work 10 hours a day. When am I supposed to make time for him? Do you know what that'll do to my finances? I do, actually. It'll transform them. I do know what it'll do if you give him the first 30 minutes of your day. It'll transform your life. Your job will get easier. Your mind will be at peace. He will comfort you in a time of need. I actually do know. It'll do the exact opposite of what your flesh is telling you. So he gives us an identity, he gives us responsibility, but then also he gives us opportunity. And Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the most fun part for me. This is the most fun part for me, is that God wants to use you to impact other people's lives like somebody impacted you. Now, the whole message is called lifestyle evangelism. Because I believe in your daily life, God wants to use you. Amen. About 3 weeks ago, my wife and I went to a Lowe's. She wants a garden box, like one of the like standing ones, you know? That my countryside just came out of me real quick. I heard that in my own accent. That's what it is. So, she wants an above ground garden bed. I'm like, cool, okay. No problem, babe. So she wrote out her list that she wants. I will say though, when your wife gives you a honey-do list, husbands, don't complain. Amen. Can I tell you why? How are you going to complain about the blessing that God gave you? Amen. How on the front end can you pray for it? And then when you have responsibility and the opportunity to take care of it, now you want to complain about it. And then you wonder why God doesn't want to keep giving you blessings. I don't. So it's like, I don't know, 8 o'clock at night. And I tell Donna, I was like, hey, I really feel like we need to go to Lowe's today. Let's just go tonight. So we go to Lowe's and I'm looking at different woods and I kind of do carpentry stuff, and so I know I want cedar wood because cedar wood has no toxins in it, and it keeps the bugs out, and it's better if you want to do organic gardens, all that type of stuff, right? So I'm going and looking at my cedar wood. Well, cedar wood is kind of more expensive. You're looking at $10-$15 a board. I don't know about y'all, but for a garden box, I'm not going to want to spend $150. That's before the dirt. You know how much dirt has gotten right now? It's at $10 a bag. But, so we're there, we're at Lowe's, and I'm price comparing. I got my little phone out, and I'm calculating. I'm like, oh, this is going to be expensive. Maybe it's not a one-time type of buy. Maybe we need to kind of save up for it. And then I find a 50% off cart, and I'm like, sweet. These are all the ugly boards that are kind of bow-legged and bent. And so I was like, no problem. I'll cut it down or whatever. And if you know anything about my wife, she's a talker. And I mean that in the most purest way. But my wife never meets a stranger. She'll say hi to anybody, everybody, don't matter who you are, what you do. It don't matter what language. She'll do it in Russian. She'll do it in Ukrainian, Spanish, English, whatever. But she likes to talk. So there's a man there, and he's sweeping, and he's sweeping, and he's sweeping. And as he's sweeping, she goes, man, you're doing a good job working there. And she's like, oh, thank you. And he's like, man, what are y'all building? And you know, the stigma of men in Lowe's and Home Depot is that we don't ask for help, right? Men, we don't ask for help, right? Raise your hand if you don't. Yeah. Men, we don't ask for help. We'll walk around that store for 45 minutes looking for the aisle before we'll go and ask for help. So my first instinct is to go, oh no, we're good, we're good, we're good. But I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, no, just talk to him. I said, okay. I said, well, man, I'm actually building a garden box. You ever built a garden box before? He said, of course I built a garden box before. Let me show you. And he pulls out his phone. He shows me all these pictures of this garden box that he just built. He is proud of his garden box. So he showed me, man, that's super cool. How about you airdrop those to me? And so he airdrops them to me. And I tell him, yeah, man, we just got married 8 months ago. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. He said, man, marriage is incredible. He said, don't take it for granted. He said, I was married for 32 years and my wife died 3 years ago in a car wreck with two of my sons. I said, Holy Spirit, I just wanted some wood. I'm just cedar. So I said, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. He said, let me tell you something, man. He said, cherish her. Enjoy every year about it. He said, because it's worth every bit of it. I said, man, that's incredible. I'm so sorry about that, to hear that. And he starts telling me that his daughters are now trying to get him to get remarried or get back on the dating scene. And he's an older gentleman, probably about 60, 64 years old. And he's like, man, I just don't see how anybody could love a bag of bones like me. He said, nobody could love me the way my wife loved me. And right then and there, the Holy Spirit told me to tell him how much God loves him. And so I looked at him and I said, hey, man, I know we're two straight men in Home Depot or in Lowe's. So I don't know if you're a shaker or a hugger, but I got to tell you something. He said, I'm a shaker. So I shook his hand and I gripped it firm and I pulled him in. This man is double my age. And I pulled him in and I said, let me tell you something. I don't know if you're supposed to get remarried. I don't know if anybody will ever love you the way your life did, but I can tell you right now that you're worth everything to God. And that he loves you. He doesn't see you as a bag of bones. He doesn't see that your life is done, and that if you want to get remarried, I promise you he'll bring you the right spouse. You know, us men, we don't cry. So we had crocodile tears and he goes, then he told me, thank you. And then he gave me 50% off the wood. Hallelujah. So. My point is, your opportunity is out there. I hear it all the time. Go, well, I work with Christians. I don't care who you work with. God didn't say just witness in your workplace. Well, my family saved. I don't care that your family's saved. He didn't say just to save your family. When you live a relationship with him and you know your identity in Him, you know your responsibility, then He gives you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. This is not the first time. When I was single, I lived in an apartment. And I went down just to pay my mortgage or my rent. And I went to go turn the check in. They had a new girl working there. And the Holy Spirit just said, hey, talk to her. So I ended up talking to her. Ended up finding out that they're new believers. But her and her boyfriend weren't living the greatest life. Ended up able just to minister to her. And then I get a phone call from her saying, my boyfriend wants to meet with you on Friday night because he's upset that you told us not to have sex anymore. So then I met with them on Friday night. That was a Monday. We went and ate sushi on a Friday. By the end of that meeting, he became my best friend. And then I officiated their wedding. And then now they're living for the gospel and they have a family. And so can I tell you that this is a lifestyle of evangelism that we're called to do as Christians. He said, you are the light. He gave you the identity of the light. So church, if I can encourage you to anything, don't dim your light anymore. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have. Every time you go to the grocery store, you're not there because your stomach is hungry. You're there because there's an opportunity that somebody has on God's heart for you to encourage. You will never, and you can quote me, you'll never find Pastor Jonathan with a sign on the side of the road going, turn or burn, turn or burn, no matter what my accent is. You ain't gonna find me doing that because I believe that's not how the gospel's supposed to be shared, that everything is done through love. And I truly believe when we love God's people and we love the people that God has called us to, it comes out of our everyday life. That He gives you opportunities at work. But He also gives you opportunities when you ran out of toilet paper. And you gotta run to the store. This morning I want to encourage you just to take the time to invite the Holy Spirit in. And in the hustle and the bustle of taking the kids to the doctor and going over here and doing this and this and this and this and this to go, Holy Spirit, who do you have? Holy Spirit, who do you have for me today? Holy Spirit, who's supposed to enter the kingdom through my hands today? Because when you live a surrendered life to Him, there's no better life. Every one of you have an opportunity. And God created everybody different for a purpose. Because you have somebody to reach. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Today, you might not know who Jesus is. You might not know Him as your personal Lord and Savior.